Using exponential rules instead of power rules. And so I will speak today about compressible flows, and one can think, for example, about acoustic turbulence. And I will consider the simplest case, the simplest possible case of chemical reactions, which are known in the chemical literature as A plus A to zero. One can think, for example, about the reaction something like this, C2H4, this is acetylene, which is actually an inertial molecule, and therefore after that this reaction occurs, it doesn't produce any back entrance into the system. Or one can think, for example, about a system of atoms which are in excited states, but in a non-living excited state. And then there are situations when molecules come back to the ground state only at collisions. And in this case, you have precisely the same situation when two molecules in excited states collide, and after that they go down to the ground state, something like this. So I will think about the situation where some initial condition is prepared somehow. For example, you can think about an initial mixture, or you can think about an abrupt decrease in temperature which produces a very non-equilibrium state. And after that, the chemical reaction starts. And if the initial state is highly non-equilibrium, then I can forget about the inverse reaction, and I can think only about these processes. Okay, so, and the question is, what is the characteristic time, or more precisely, what are laws which control this chemical reaction? Namely, I will speak about the density of chemicals, N, which is the density per unit volume, and it is essentially, since I am going to consider compressible flows, this is the density per unit volume. And let me first write what will be the form of the equation without any random flow. Then we can write something like this. dT over N is equal to Rn squared for this case, where R is the rate of the chemical reaction, N squared is the second power of the density, which corresponds to this binary reaction. And I should also add here something like diffusion coefficient. Okay, and suppose now that an initial distribution of N is prepared, which is N naught as a function of R. And the question is, for example, what is the time behavior of the average number of molecules per unit volume with time? And so, in this case, the answer is very simple.
Am I to think of density being non-negative?
Yes, 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 of course. The density is believed to be non-negative. Yeah, yeah. So,
N is
N is positive.
Zero if it starts above. It stays above zero if it starts above.
Yes, yes, yes. And of course, this equation conserves this condition.
It would have finite time extinction.
No.
That would have to be square root to be have an extinction.
No.
No extinction. That's algebraic. 1 over t. It goes to 0 as well.
If n is positive.
Not t minus t minus. T plus t.
If n is positive when t is equal to 0, then it will be positive for any time. No problem.
What's the average? What do you mean by the average?
And average here means average over volume. This is just volume integral divided by the value of volume of N. No more.
All right, good.
Okay, and so the situation here for this case is very simple. I can extract the average value of n over the volume, and then I will...
I'm sorry, overbought is the same thing.
Huh?
No, overbought is the same as bracket.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. It is the same as bracket.
Okay. Before you can solve...
Okay.
It's okay, I just want to make sure.
The problem is that... further, I will consider averages like this one, okay. And so I would prefer to keep this designation for an arbitrary moment, whereas an average will mean average over space. Okay. And then. And so one can write something like this. It is average value. 1 plus theta as a function of r, and after that I substitute this expression into the initial equation, I will immediately find dn over dt is equal to minus squared, and also the equation for theta, d theta over dt is equal to minus n theta squared plus, okay, these two equations. And from the first equation I immediately see that an average behaves as 1 over t, and after that I see that it is possible to do that.
Actually, in the first line it is n square average.
No. This is n bar squared, exactly. No,
it
no.
Just cancel.
No.
Even with the diffusion
in
there?
Hmm? Diffusion is cancelled since n squared is
the number of time
of is r independent.
Right.
And okay. after that I will find the equation for theta, which are non-homogeneous fluctuations on the homogeneous background.
How come there's not a 1 plus? Oh, there is a 1. Okay, got it. All right.
Okay, this system of equation is equivalent to the initial equation, of course. Yep. So, after that, you can immediately solve the first equation, and you see that n bar decreases with time as n over t, very slowly, but nevertheless decreases. And that means that it is possible to neglect this term, it got enough time, of course, in the equation for the non-homogeneous part of the distribution theta, and after that we find immediately a purely diffusive equation, and that means, for example, that all moments of theta also decrease with time, for example, theta squared average, which is now a volume average, behaves as 1 over t at beta power. And generally beta is equal to d over 2 plus 2, where d is the dimensionality of space, but nevertheless if initial condition is prepared specially, or more precisely if theta has a broad distribution in the Fourier space, then beta can differ from this value, but nevertheless this moment decreases with time, and all other moments of theta also decreases with time. It is very simple to establish, and this is purely diffusive equation, and that means actually... Where is noise?
I'm asking you.
No. There is no noise here. And so after that we see that actually asymptotically in time it is possible to neglect theta in this equation in comparison with unity, and therefore the runtime behavior of n is dominated by bar n, and therefore this law is satisfied.
Okay. How do you decompose, because n bar, as Peter noted, n bar is not the average.
It's not the average.
Because if it would be the average, no.
Grisha, it's not the average, of course. Would it be average over space, then some additional terms will be there. Yes. You can consider this only as a substitution.
Right. Okay, so that's a thing. You know, I like it. It's nice. How do you know how to decompose? Is there a way to know how to decompose?
In some sense, this equation is a definition of n bar.
Right, right.
This is a definition of n bar, and after that, I can find an equation for theta. No more. If you want.
Okay.
So, this is the simplest case. Now, let me introduce the velocity. First, I will consider. First, I will consider incompressible case, which will produce nothing interesting, but nevertheless. And in this case, I should consider this equation with an advecting term. And so I should believe that the velocity is the velocity. No. At the moment, I am considering incompressible flow. So there will be no interesting in this case, but nevertheless, let me consider. So I will neglect the back reaction of the chemical reaction to the flow. And in this case, V is a field with a prescribed statistics, and I should think about correlation function of theta. So let us produce the same substitution, and after that, the only additional term which will appear here will be something like this: d theta over dt plus v ingrat. Theta is equal.
And then the substitution upstairs, the n bar also has a v dot graph, right?
Yeah,
it's only the mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't have.
And again, var n decreases as r over t, and therefore, for which times it is possible to neglect this term. And after that, we will find the equation for a passive scalar in the external velocity field. Okay, and there are two different situations, really. And now let us think about moments of this passive scalar. And again, we consider decaying turbulence, and we consider decaying passive scalar, and so we should solve this equation with a definite initial condition. And in principle, there are two different situations. The first situation is when Prandtl is larger than unity. That means that diffusive scale is less than the viscous scale of the velocity. And in this case, moments of theta decay exponentially. It was demonstrated for a delta correlated field by Sohn, and then this result was generalized for an arbitrary statistics of the velocity field by Balkowski and Fuchson. So, in the opposite situation, if the Prandtl number is smaller than unity, that is, the diffusion length is larger than the viscous scale of the velocity, the situation is a bit different. And actually, what is known for this case is known from the work by Gregory Eink, and he considered actually the Kretschmann model with the delta correlated velocity, and he demonstrated that in this situation moments of theta decay as a power of t.
Only second moment,
yes?
Only second
moment. Okay.
Nobody knows.
I believe that higher moments also decay as a power. Of course, it is not very trivial calculation to find these powers, but...
they're not going to decay faster.
No, not faster.
Nobody knows.
I don't even know how to calculate it.
Okay.
Not what will be the result.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good problem.
Yes. Nevertheless, the second moment decays, and I believe that actually higher moments of theta also decay, and that means that again, in the large T limit, it is possible to neglect theta here in comparison with unity, and so we find this rho 1 over t for decaying moments of n which are actually dominated by var n. Okay, so nothing interesting, since actually in this case we have very simple law.
You can prove the decay, even if you don't know exactly how. You have the maximum principle.
Yes, so I believe so.
A
yes.
Higher moment, the moment of order 12, mm-hmm. is less than a constant than the moment of order 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it will decay anyway. Okay? So mm-hmm. even though you don't know exactly how fast, the conclusion that you can neglect it this at the end of the state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. Okay, so now let me pass to the situation when of the compressible velocity field.
Yes, it's a decay, and then that is also bounded. So theta plus 12 is less than half.
No
doubt about that. Yeah. The interesting part is how almost the number of students participate in the central velocity decay of the right. Okay, now the equation is something like this. And I again would like to stress that n is the density of chemicals per unit volume, and this is the reason why here is the term with the divergence of V, and it is unavoidable since of course the rate of the chemical reaction is proportional just to the second power of the density per unit volume, and so we should consider the equation like this. Okay, so in this case the situation is not so easy, is not so simple, and now
always scale that coefficient to be 1 in front of this guy, I guess so.
Yes, yes, of course. Sure. Of course, coefficients are correct.
The divergence is
correct. It's a divergence of 10 V.
There's no coefficient there.
Yeah,
there's no coefficient there.
Yeah, 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 of course. And so, again, I would like to produce a substitution of this type, but now bar n will not be a constant. And actually, I am going to consider the following situation when the equation for n is something like this: dt plus v grad var n is equal to minus 10 minus r n squared, and this is the same equation but without diffusion. And if then we substitute into the initial equation this answer, then we will find something like this: dt.
It's just generalizing the
definition of this is a definition of bar n.
Ah,
yeah,
but n bar still now it depends also on r.
Oh, yes. Think that the divergence of v is a constant, then that would be exactly what you would look for.
Yes, of course.
Is it from motivation considered velocity is large scale? And it's
okay.
N bar will be some partial average of scale. This is less than velocity scale, but larger than the scale of density perturbations. But it's motivation. This is an
adult.
Yeah. So you
can make it. Okay, and so at deriving this equation, we assumed that the velocity at the viscous scale, or if we think about acoustic on the velocity correlation lens, is much larger than kappa divided by this correlation lens. That means actually that the diffusion length is much less than the correlation length of the velocity. And that means actually that physically it is very natural. That means that theta are generally small scale fluctuations, and the diffusivity is essential for these small scale fluctuations. where bar n are fluctuations on larger scales, generally on scale of the order of the velocity correlation length, and it is not sensitive to the diffusion. Okay, so we see, theta of course. So as we will see, moments of bar n decrease with growing time, and therefore again this term can be neglected for large times, and again we return to the equation for the basis scalar for theta, and so we can argue that for large times this term can be neglected in comparison with unity, and therefore it is possible to consider only this initial equation. Okay, so let us try to solve this equation. And before doing this, let me remind you what is the equation for the mass density of the fluid. And this equation is written like this one. So we see that this equation is identical to the equation for bar n, excluding for this chemical term, of course. So, and now, what is this in the left-hand side of this equation? This is a derivative along the Lagrangian trajectory. So, formally, this equation can be solved, and one can write rho of t is equal to exponent at zeta power times rho of zero, where I consider an evolution along the Lagrangian trajectory, and the equation for theta is very simple. T theta over t is equal to minus gradient v. So it is very useful quantity. And now, if I now return to this equation, then I see that it also can be solved in terms of the evolution along a Lagrangian trajectory explicitly, and the answer is the following one. T is equal to n0, exponent theta is a function of t. Okay, so this is the solution, and if the rate of the chemical reaction capital I is equal to zero, then of course we return to this solution. But of course the presence of the chemical reaction produces a dramatic change of the solution. So nevertheless, this is a formal solution for our problem in terms of the initial value of n at t equal to zero and for a given Lagrangian trajectory.
This does bring up the question that I asked before. For a given, if I have some initial conditions, little n as a function of space and time, how do I know how to extract the initial n bar and the initial theta? How do I know how to separate it out? I understand the odds. How do you separate out your initial data into the two? So how do you get n naught, in other words?
In principle, you should do the following. And actually, it is not very simple thing, but generally, you can do the following. You can try to get an initial function bar n, and then which is for this problem, I believe you can take just a homogeneous function at t equal to zero, and the value and the value of this homogeneous function can be chosen so to
because you can't take theta of zero equals zero.
To ensure this condition.
No, but it's not theta zero. It's just theta zero.
Then this condition is essential. The homogeneous component in the basis scalar theta should be absent. And so for this particular problem, you can take just constant at t equal to zero, and the value of this constant is determined by this condition, and after that this term, which is the term with the which is multiplicative noise, will produce actually inhomogeneity in space with the characteristic scale of the order of the velocity perturbation lengths, something like this. Okay?
This condition, V much larger than kappa over A, allows you to still neglect the Laplacian, the diffusive Laplacian, the point bar.
Right. Okay. So now.
That's all consistent.
Yeah, that's why you need it. Mm-hmm.
But the mean zero is not conserved in time, though.
No.
It's only
a. No!
The integral of theta is being zero is not conserved in time, only asymptotically.
Oh. Yes, it's only asymptotical in time. Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes.
In fact, the mean goes negative immediately.
Yeah, okay.
The divergence also
which is no longer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And now I am going to examine. I'm going to examine actually moments of this quantity. I will consider something like this, n as a function of t to the power alpha average, where average means averaging over space. And I believe that for this ergodic system, this averaging over space can be substituted by averaging over all Lagrangian trajectories. And so, in this case, zeta will be a function of a Lagrangian marker with prescribed statistics, and so it is possible to think in terms of the statistics of zeta. Okay, so further I will interpret this average as averaging over the statistics of Lagrangian trajectories, and I will examine this average.
What does capital T mean there? All examined at the final time T?
Capital T means T, it is time, yes, this is the final T at which I am going to examine my statistics, these moments, and small t is an intermediate time. It is impossible to write a closed expression which contains only quantities which are function of capital T. This is integral, this is actually essential. Okay, so I will examine this moment in terms of the average over Lagrangian statistics. And so, how it is possible to do? And this is the definition of zeta. So zeta is the integral over t along a Lagrangian trajectory. So if we will think about large t, and really we will be interested in the asymptotic behavior of this moment when capital T tends to infinity, that means that this integral is taken over a large t, and that means actually that zeta is an integral over t of a random processes. And it is well known what are the statistics of such quantity, and really this is just the quantity which is a subject of the central limit theorem. But really, as we will see, our answers will be sitting on rare events, and so we will be interested in the large deviation theory. And it will be convenient for me to formulate this large deviation theory in terms of a path integral. Let me write this integral, and then I will try to.
Is it truly okay to neglect the transmit Lagrangian? Even from this random field point of view, you have a random field, you do this in Eulerian coordinates, you integrate it.
No. This is the integral along a Lagrangian trajectory.
Right. So you're going to consider that.
Yeah, of course.
When you calculate the averages, you.
Yes. Of course, this is the Lagrangian quantity.
Okay.
No doubts. So the statistics of Lagrangian trajectories can be written in terms of the following path integral over where I introduce an auxiliary field mu and my initial field zeta, which is written something like this, function of mu. And one can check that this expression reproduces, for example, well-known expression for large deviation theory if we are interested in simultaneous correlation functions. But the problem is that I am interested in the statistics of the quantity which is an integral of time, and this is the motivation for me to introduce the path integral which knows about non-simultaneous correlation function of this random process. Yes, what is u as a function of mu? For example, if we think that this divergence of v is a Markovian process, then the function u is very simple and can be written like this one, at mu plus 1 over 2 delta mu squared, where delta is, where eta is the average value of minus d v, and delta is actually its dispersion. So if the process is Markovian, no problem, you can immediately find this expression. But nevertheless, for an arbitrary process, the qualitative form of this function is the same. It is a convex function which comes from through origin and has an additional zero. Of course, I've plotted exactly this parabola, but generally the shape of u is qualitatively the same. Okay, so the next note is the following one. This statistics is not arbitrary, since actually these statistics should produce, for example, the total mass conservation. I would like to remind you that the mass density at the time t is related to the initial rho by this relation, and that means that the average of rho of t should be equal to average rho of zero, the average over space, and that means actually that the average of t over zeta should be equal to unity. So this is the condition which is imposed on this integral. So this integral, this is the weight, and this integral d zeta d mu with this exponent times exponent zeta of the final moment t should be equal to unity. And that imposes an additional condition on this function u, namely this second zero should occur exactly at minus unity. And this is the condition which ensures this property. Okay, so now let me write moments which can be extracted from this expression. So n of t at the power alpha average now is the following one. It is the integral over d zeta d mu exponent minus 0 t dt. This is the general factor. Then I must write here also exponent zeta as a function of t. And this factor means the following. What is this? This is an average taken over the initial positions of Lagrangian trajectories, or what is the same over the statistics of Lagrangian trajectories. But it is not the same as average over volume, since due to compressibility, relative weight of different space regions will be different, and this is just the factor which takes this into account. This is, you see, it's simply the ratio of the mass density at the, this is Jacobian, yes, this is the ratio of the mass density at T and at zero, no more. It should be introduced definitely, and then I should write this expression at the power alpha, no more. And let me rewrite it in a more convenient form, which is exponent. So let me collect all together as a product of two exponents. Okay, this is the average, which is written as a path integral, where we have interval of time from 0 to capital T. And now we are interested in the behavior of these moments when T tends to infinity. So it is very natural that this integral can be calculated in this saddle point approximation in this limit. So let me write what will be saddle point conditions for this calculation. And the saddle point conditions for these calculations are actually ordinary differential equations, which can be written as extrema conditions for this exponent. So they are very simple. dt is equal to prime u. Mu is equal to theta, where P is and so you see that these are simple equations, that actually the system of equations can be solved up to the end, and I will present you only answers in the graphic form. And there are actually two different regimes which depends on the value of alpha. You see that there is a point where this function u has a minimum. Let me designate it as mu star. And there are two different regimes. And the first regime is if alpha, which is supposed to be positive, is smaller than tau plus unity. And of course this sum lies between zero and unity. And in this case the behavior of our solution is something like this. This is T, this is capital T, our final time, mu, alpha minus 1, mu start from an initial condition, and variable lives near alpha minus 1. So as to zeta, it behaves like this one. It asymptotically diminishes. It is interesting also to plot rho, which corresponds to this behavior of zeta. It starts from a constant and then diminishes. So what is this? This is actually a description of a very rare fluctuation which produces the main contribution to the this moment at large T. And you see that actually this fluctuation is related to a very low density, which is natural. What happens actually? Let me say some words about physics. You see that this term is of the second order over n, and that means it acts effective in places where n is large, and in these places the chemical reaction kills n very effectively. And therefore, if we are interested in large T and we are interested in the main contribution to n, we should find places where n is small. And this is just what is written here. So we consider places where the mass density and consequently n is enormously small, and only is in these regions n could live a long time. Okay, and after that, this is the character of the solution if alpha is less, and let me plot the same for alpha, which is larger than star plus unit. And in this case, the character is a bit different. This is mu star. This is, for example, alpha minus 1, and so mu star lives a long time near mu star. Again, zeta now is not monotonic. It behaves like this one. And so, if to plot rho, it will be something like this. So, you see that the same tendency, that actually these events are associated with low density, but now this density is approximately constant over time, whereas in the first case rho diminishes with time. This is the only difference. Okay, so this is the qualitative behavior of the solution, and now it is very simple actually to plot the behavior of the moments. And I should substitute this solution into this path integral and calculate it into the same saddle point approximation. And as a result, we find the answer that at very large time, these moments behave as exponent minus gamma alpha t, capital T. That is, all these moments decay exponentially. And let me plot this gamma alpha as a function of alpha. And here is the critical value mu star plus unity, and of course this gamma starts from zero, increases somehow, and actually this is no other than the same function u taken as a function of alpha minus 1, and starting from this point gamma alpha are constant, and this is just the value minus u as a function of mu star. So this is the a bit strange, but nevertheless a bit strange behavior of the decaying exponents, but nevertheless we encounter such behavior in many places. So, okay, this is the answer actually, and you see that instead of a power law, which was 1 over T both for diffusive case and for the advection of the incompressible velocity, we have exponential decreasing, and that means actually that compressibility is a very effective mechanism which accelerates chemical reaction. And I repeat, the mechanism is the following one. Due to incompressibility, there appears some regions in space where the density is higher than in average, and the, since the rate of the chemical reaction is proportional to the second power of n, then this region produces an acceleration in average over the space of the chemical reaction. And this mechanism, I repeat, is very effective. So,
how big should be compressibility?
What is let me discuss this. I will ask in a minute. I am going to discuss this. Let me finish this. Let me finish this consideration. Okay. So this answer is an unusual to some sense, and therefore we checked our instantonic approximation by Fokker-Planck equation, and if we accept that the velocity is delta correlated in time, then of course it is possible to find a Fokker-Planck equation for the distribution function of n, and in this case it is possible to solve it up to the end, and the results are the same. So we are pretty sure that these results are correct. Now about your question. Really, there are two different times in this problem. The first time is r times n naught to the minus 1 power. This is actually the time which is associated with the chemical reaction by itself. And really, if to neglect compressibility and for example, advection, then n can be written like t plus n naught r to the minus 1. And you see that this is actually the characteristic time which is associated with the chemical reaction. But there is also another time in this problem, the time which is associated with compressibility. It can be naturally written as u as a function of mu star. This is the quantity which is plotted here. This function u has the dimensionality of the rate 1 over second. And actually, this is the function which describes statistics of the compressibility rate. So this is another time in this system. And before we...
Is it the lifetime of a density perturbation? Is that...
No. This is rather degree of compressibility. This is something like degree of compressibility. Degree of compressibility...
Should be characteristic length. What
kind of time?
No. The velocity correlation length, of course.
Delta V.
Because, yes, you can be estimated like something like this. It is the velocity correlation length divided, the sound velocity divided by the velocity correlation length times degree of compressibility, something like this. Degree of compressibility, it is due to something like this. Delta rho divided by rho square, average square, something like this. So we have two different time scales in our problem. And before, we reconsidered the asymptotics when t is much larger than both of this time. In principle, one can think what will happen in between. Suppose that one of these times is much larger than the other one, what will happen? And the answer is the following one. If r naught is much larger than u of mu by its absolute value, then initially we can neglect compressibility and consider only the chemical reaction which will produce just this law. No more. And this law will be will go to the time, which is this time, and after that, instead of the power law, we will see an exponential decay.
The characteristic time, chemistry characteristic time, much smaller
than... This is the chemistry characteristic time. This is the situation when chemistry characteristic time is much less than the compressibility characteristic time. Now, in the opposite case, if the chemical characteristic time is much larger than the compressibility.
So it's not interesting from the point of compressibility, it's not interesting.
In some sense it is not it is not interesting, but nevertheless I would like to note.
Yes.
And in this case you can first consider n as a passive scalar. You can forget about this term. But this is passive scalar in the compressible field. And it is not very trivial situation. Since, for example, and it needs a special care. And I hope that Grisha will talk specially on this, will specially explain what will happen in this situation. For example, in this situation, some moments of n could increase. Higher moments of n could increase, and therefore, principally, it could happen that it is impossible to neglect theta in comparison with unity, since maybe you remember that there is n, for example, in the right hand side of this equation, and if n is large enough, then of course it, if some moments increase with time, then it is impossible to neglect this term. You should seriously take into account diffusion and so forth. I would like to say only that it is a complicated situation and should be considered specially. And again, I hope that Grisha will explain you what will happen in this case. So, if we have this inequality, then at intermediate time we will have a strange behavior. But nevertheless, for times which are larger than the compressibility characteristic time, we will again have a decay, inevitably. Decay of all moments.
But now, won't you, because at later times, really, there's a time scale that's varying with time here. It's r times n of t, right? And so eventually, if you wait long enough, you're always going to get into this situation down here. Where r, is that?
Yeah.
Am I saying something totally obvious? Maybe I'm saying something totally obvious.
What auto?
I'm saying instead of r times n not being the relative relevant time scale, at late times, I don't care what n not is because I've forgotten where I started. All I know is what n is now. And what n is now is much smaller than n not.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so r, so eventually, if I wait till late times and ask for late times asymptotics, I should only be comparing r times n with mu, with u of mu star, not r times n not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And in this case, yes. Actually, you can actually you can think that you are starting from this time, of course, from this time, and thinking what will be further. And the problem is that in this case, the initial condition for n is very complicated.
But if the field is, if the velocity field is really random, then no matter how complicated the initial field was, going to get mixed around by the...
Yes, absolutely right. Okay, so now we believe that we understand more or less the situation with this simplest reaction. And now we are thinking about more complicated reactions, for example, reaction which, again, in the chemical literature is known as A plus B to zero. And this is, of course, more spread reactions where we have two chemicals which produce a product which actually is inert and so is not involved into this reaction. And this and actually this investigation is not finished yet. It is in progress. And our impression is that the same mechanism will produce also exponential decay in this case also, though this reaction is much more complicated for consideration. Okay, thanks.
So the natural question is for A plus B, does this kind of advection, I guess this destroys any kind of segregation effects or any anomalous kinetics due to you get all the A's here, all the B's here, then the reaction goes slow because it's only on the
other.
But I guess the advection makes
yes.
The compressibility makes it.
Okay. I can say. Of course, that means that we have two different N's. And actually we believe that integral of n1 dr is equal to integral n2. This is only the interesting situation. Otherwise, the chemical reaction will kill very quickly one of the chemicals.
The minimum.
Yes, and this is a complicated situation, since actually in this case we should think about two different densities which are separated in space and so forth.
Now you can get extinction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can get finite time extinction. Because now if you compress a specific case in which integral of n is zero, so you have negative parts, the negative parts will go.
Yes, and that's right. Yeah. In some sense, the difference plays the role of the Bessel scale with zero average. Yeah, yeah.
The situation actually, what you consider chemical reaction in gas, because in gas you have compressibility.
What?
Incompressible.
No. All information concerning the physical nature of the fluid is written here. So this function U knows everything about the substance. And yeah, if you have, for example, liquid, then
delta rho and rho in water, for example.
Yes. That means that this quantity is very small. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But nevertheless, I'm not sure that it is not very interesting, since that means only that the characteristic time where compressibility starts to work is one and a half and what?
Let me give you another example. Yes. Consider incompressible flow and put inertial particles into it. Let's say that your particles are macroscopic, they have density which is different from fluid density. Yes. Then the velocity field of your particles will be compressible, just because they advance or retard depending on whether their mass is larger or so. And you have the same phenomenon that you have now, density of something which is in the compressible velocity field. So there's another application of this.
Effectively incompressible.
You have inertial particles which, when they meet each other,
they interrupt. For example, chemical reaction near critical point. Then you can change compressibility and look on.
Yes, clearly.
Or in the gas.
Yes, or in the gas.
But coming back to your example, one of the things that bothers me about this theory, throwing light on anything, is that there's no vorticity in the problem. And in fact, the example you raised is going to be a generator of enormous amounts of vorticity. So all the arguments looking at divergence as a primary focus don't get into the essence of the dynamics and the generation of vorticity.
Vorticity is important as well as you consider.
The problem is that
you gave an example to show its generalizability. I think that example is not a good example.
If you have an inertial particle, then vorticity is very important because it produces compressibility. If you have
no, it has nothing to do with compressibility.
The problem is that the answer is sitting on the behavior of the compressibility along Lagrangian trajectories, and it is not sensitive to the shape of these Lagrangian trajectories. And so you can consider cross Lagrangian trajectories, you can consider Lagrangian trajectories will go from minus infinity to plus infinity. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Yes. This is because we are interested in single point objects, of course. If we will be interested in space correlation functions of n, then you will be absolutely right. They will be extremely sensitive to the, for example, presence of regions with strong vortices. Definitely.
Okay, you surrender?
Yeah.
I have a remark, just a short remark. I don't know if somebody still remember what I told in my talk in the context at the very beginning. I talked about this problem without chemistry.
Yeah.
And if you have in a specific scalar density in a compressible flow, and you ask how moments really grow, and I said, well, let's say they grow like something coexists, and what is this gamma as a function of alpha, and what I've shown was something like this. Yeah? This is the sum of Lyapunov exponent, which is, I told so many words, that this is negative, etc., then it grows. Now, in chemistry, now we solve the problem. So what you see, you really depends on, okay? So that's how you come up with it. At the moment they don't know about chemistry because they all live in a large regions with almost no intensity. All higher moments, they all decay as this moment, and this moment of course is determined by this minimum, which is not universal, etc. But that what chemistry does, just kills everything, shows us here the constant. And then it's exponential, which is acceleration from the universe.